Hello, welcome to Locked On Suns, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, I'm your host, Evan Sider, and joined by co-host Brendan Clean. You can follow me on Twitter at eSider. You can follow Brendan on Twitter at BrendanClean14. Also, make sure to follow Locked On Suns Twitter page if you're already at Locked On PHX Suns. Your support of ours is very much appreciated, as always. We're joining you guys, as we usually do, from live from Talk Series or Arena following games for our game recaps. For Brightside Night 2019, the Suns somehow came back from a 19-point deficit at halftime and won this game. The final score was 115-111. The Suns are now 10-32 on the season. So let's just run through really quickly just about like our main takeaways, and we'll go into our usual free throws and our flagrant fouls, etc. But let me throw it your way first, Burn, because we were just touching on it right before I came on the air here. I was going to text you during the game, be like, is there any pauses from this game? Because midway through the third quarter, they were down by double digits. Rashawn Holmes all of a sudden comes in, and then they go on a 28-12 run in the quarter, take the lead, and then from there, it was just a closing competitive game, and really those energy swings kind of decided it.
Yeah, it was kind of exactly the type of night they needed. I mean, not just for the psyche of the team to finish a road trip with a win and have it be, of course, their only win, 1-6 on this road trip. We both thought they'd win at least three games, or I'm sorry, homestand. We both thought they'd win at least three, you said four. Like, we were pretty optimistic. That's obviously not what happened. So good to get any type of win you can get. But also, I mean, it kind of felt like the type of performance, the way they went about it, playing with energy, using defense to create offense, that they were doing when they went on that successful road trip, and they went, you know, 5-2 over those course of those games. So good to get the win in general, but especially to kind of get back to what was working a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I'll just start off here, because there's actually solid performances all around for the Suns today, like three or four good guys. And we'll start off with the star of the game, really, Kelly Oubre Jr., his first real breakout game with the Suns, 26 points. He also had five rebounds, four assists. I think that's a career high for Oubre in assist totals. But he also had three steals and a blocked shot, continues to be a menace on defensive end as far as activity goes. Played 30 minutes as well, 9 of 15, 3 of 6 from 3. What does it say about Kelly Oubre, just the constant energy and the constant consistency now we're seeing with him? It feels like it's really rubbing off on guys like DeAndre, because he was really raving about him in the locker room as well.
Yeah, I think he's, it's funny to kind of hear some of these guys talk. I think Rashawn Holmes falls in that category as well, just the way that, you know, Ayton said, just to be in the league for as long as he's been.
It's like, been like 4 years.
4 years, yeah. Kind of the same thing with Oubre, but it does go to show, you know, having guys even who have the confidence to take some of the shots that Oubre takes, or to jump into the air on that putback attempt late in the game and feel like it's going to land in your hands and seal a game like that. I just think, you know, every team probably needs a guy with the swagger and the confidence of Oubre, and you definitely feel it on nights like this when you could tell he really took it, not took it personally, but put a lot of responsibility on his own shoulders with Booker out. I mean, he said so himself just now in the locker room. You know, he said, we had to win this one for Booker. He needs to get healthy, and he needs to be able to trust that when he's not on the court, they can still go win games. And I think Oubre was clearly the biggest part of that tonight.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I wanted to ask, just off topic real quick, I mean, it's related to Oubre, but as far as the starting lineups go, Mikal Bridges only played 22 minutes tonight. Oubre played 30 with how he was playing. Do you envision any lineup change coming soon where Oubre is starting? Because I think we mentioned this last week on our podcast, but with the losses, but now with the win, and especially with the Oubre's consistent play, like we mentioned, should he be a starter?
I mean, I think right now you see kind of the impact that he makes coming off the bench, and that's something he and Josh Jackson both typically bring when Jackson's not starting. I think it'll be more a balance. I think we could see something. I mean, the most likely thing we've talked about for a while now is D'Anthony Melton. He had a strong game tonight too. So, you know, I think, you know, you kind of see just the natural fluctuations. Maybe it's just a matter of this team's young. Some guys will look good. We've talked about Mikal Bridges, how he needed to be in the starting lineup for all those weeks. Now not doing so well. So, you know, I think maybe it's not the answer, but I guess I'm not at the point where I feel like it's blatant enough to really make that switch yet.
That's a good point. And also just the value Bridges brings on defense as well. It's kind of with the way they're doing right now, I think it's maybe just wait a few more games, see what happens with the lineups. But let me toss your way for our guy, D'Anthony Melton, who had a strong game here and really set the tone as far as his potential.
Yeah, really impressive night from him being able to stay on the court. I mean, that's not been a given for him for quite a few games now. He'll sit fourth quarters for Jamal Crawford, or, you know, Elia Kobo didn't play tonight. That probably played a part in Melton's heavy minutes load. First night of a back-to-back, I would imagine Kobo plays a little more, but Melton took advantage of that opportunity tonight and tied his career high in assists, four steals, two blocks, just continues to churn out numbers in those categories like it's, you know, nothing. And
plus 18, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I was going. Plus 18. I didn't even realize. I thought Rashawn Holmes would be the tops in that category, but Melton was on the floor during that key run as well. And there's not a lot of guys. I mean, De'Aaron Fox kind of had his way for a lot of this game, but when it mattered, he missed a few shots. And there's not a lot of guys who can say this season that they've locked down Fox even for a few key possessions. And Melton really was the key to kind of stopping him at the end of this game and giving the Suns a chance.
Yeah, as far as Melton's defense goes, this is what Igor, you asked him a question. You really wanted to pivot to defense because 4 steals tonight, 2 block shots for a guy who's 6'4". That just... His instincts from USC are really starting to transfer over, like we've been talking about from the very beginning, and it's really starting to show how comfortable he's getting too, because he's not taking that many shots that he was early on in the season. He's kind of just playing his role, playing as a spot-up guy, an aggressive on-ball defender. What do you think about his defense, but also I'll throw it back your way as well for the playmaking ability, because 8 assists tonight, tied his career high. It seems like he's really finding the balance of what to do right now.
Yeah, he had a really good game just sort of reading on both ends and making smart plays. I mean, the Suns defense was really like genuinely good against the Kings in that fourth quarter, and swallowing guys rolling to the rim and creating easy turnovers when those guys made poor decisions. I mean, if you can get Kostas Koufos with the ball in his hands going to the basket to have to make a decision, even if he makes the decision to shoot, he's probably not going to make that shot.
Yeah.
It was a really simple play a lot of the time, just because they were containing the ball and forming that wall like Igor Kochkov likes to talk about. And Melton was the key kind of beneficiary as far as racking up steals goes. The Suns had 18 as a team, which is just crazy to see. But, I mean, I feel like we have to talk about it as often as possible. His steal rate, like, it's common for guys like him to do that in college just because they're athletes you know, they're going up against nobodies that they can just swallow up. Yeah. But to bring that, he's almost at 4%.
That's the exact same as college.
It's just crazy to have him make that kind of impact consistently as a starter after missing an entire year of college and just having that impact translate right away. And tonight hasn't always translated to overall good performances, but clearly did tonight.
Yeah, that's for sure. And really, like I tweeted tonight during the game, I know you've been on this bandwagon as well, just give De'Anthony Melton some time. I think where he's going to be a really good player. He's in our lottery on both our draft boards leading into the draft this past summer. But I'll toss it back here for my second free throw. And it's actually Josh Jackson, who had it was a strong game, and not like compared to Oubre and compared to guys like De'Anthony Melton, it was kind of a smaller performance. But he had 13 points. He also had 3 steals. No blocks for him, but he was +7 tonight, 5-11 from the field, 1-2 from three. I want to touch really quickly before we go on the defense with Jackson, just his shot mechanics. It looks way different, especially over the past few weeks. They look more consistent, too. There's no more, like, flailing around with the arms or the legs or anything. Just what's your thoughts from the outside looking in on Josh Jackson's shooting ability? Because he's now shooting 42% from catch-and-shoot threes the past 4 or 5 weeks, and that's seems like it's sustaining.
Yeah, his overall three-point percentage has picked up a ton since – you know, December, beginning of December-ish, and from the field as well. I mean, 5 of 11 again from tonight. I mean, he might never be a player just because, I mean, you know, we use the Marcus Smart comparison for De'Anthony Melton, but to a certain degree, any guy who has some playmaking and handling ability, but his main thing is defense, like, those guys aren't going to be 55% shooters from the field. So maybe he never gets to that point, but he's taking less shots, which I think helping him dramatically. He took a wild step back mid-range shot that made us all rip our hair out, but he made it, and it was only the one. You know, I don't think he's been quite as much of a disaster on offense as kind of his reputation seems to just paint him now. I think that is easy to say because, you know, watching him like that every game is not easy, but I think overall, you know, he's doing a good job of turning defense into offense and playing within himself, kind of doing exactly what we've been saying he needed to do all year. And it's only, you know, a couple weeks stretch now, but turn that into, you know, the whole entire back half of a season. We saw him come on strong last year. Like, you know, it really could be a kind of a corner turn for him.
It seems like, I haven't talked to Josh personally about this yet, but it seems like he has an adjustment period now. We can kind of know with two different coaches now, where it takes him like 2 or 3 months to like get settled into things, and it seems like that's happening again with Igor.
Yeah, people rolled their eyes about the thing in the undefeated diary he did where he talked about not having the same advantages as some rookies. I don't think he meant that as an excuse. He would probably be the first to tell you he's played poorly often. Like, I don't think he's the kind of guy that makes excuses for himself. I think that was pretty genuine. I mean, you know, you think about like Boston, like Semi Ojeleye, Like, that guy looks good. Josh Jackson would look good if he had that role. I mean, maybe not the three-point shooting, but, like, you know, I do think that that plays a big part in it. Hopefully the coaching staff can be a little more stable going forward and guys like him benefit.
Yeah, that'll be really fun to watch his development, because it seems like just improved player development overall is just going to help out this young core a ton. But what's your second free throw?
Yeah, someone we probably can just hit on quickly. We've mentioned him a couple times already. Keyed the big run in the third quarter. It's Rashawn Holmes. I mean, he's the kind of player where his value is that there's nothing new to talk about every night. Like, what we've said about Rashawn Holmes, every night he's made this impact is exactly what happened again tonight. I mean, 12 points on 4 shot attempts, incredibly efficient. Another guy who just racks up steals and blocks, two steals, 3 blocks for him tonight, and just incredible. I mean, to have to come in such terrible circumstances like he does a lot of the time, down 20, down 15, and it's like, all right, Rashawn, see what you can do, and he answers the call pretty much every time.
Okay, let me ask you this, because it seems like I've been banging this drum for a while now, but you have to re-sign Rashawn Holmes, like, almost immediately once free agency starts,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, acting quickly, giving him a long-term deal, showing him the appreciation of coming into this franchise and redeveloping his game, kind of, not from scratch, but he was pretty unwanted asset in Philadelphia. I mean,
getting away for cash.
It looks good now that the Suns got him, but it's not like they were, you know, this smart team. I think he was a guy not many teams wanted, because, like you said, the trade was not really much. So I think you do it to kind of reward him, but also get that player on as cheap a contract as you can, and, you know, that's an asset.
How much is his energy? I asked DeAndre this in the locker room. He thought of it and gave me a good answer, but the guys like DeAndre and all these rookies, this is the youngest roster in the league. I mean, rotation-wise, we're looking at taking on Jamal Crawford. They're definitely the youngest, in my opinion, but what does a guy like Rashawn Holmes do for this team? Because it seems like whenever he does anything, the bench just freaks out in positivity, like, That's their guy, pretty much. Like, Rashawn's their guy.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's, you know, the development stuff is kind of the angle Ayton took with his answer, is just, you know, to see how he could have come here and kind of just, you know, I'm going to pad my stats. I'm a free agent at the end of the year. Philly didn't want me. I don't even know any of you who you guys are. I'm tired of this NBA BS. Like, and that's not how he handles himself at all. He's keying runs as a, you know, pick and roll big man. That's not the type of guy that is usually the catalyst for a team, but he clearly is here.
Yeah, he's like literally Montrezl Harrell 2.0. It's really fun to watch from that point of view. Before we go on to our next segment, though, which is our flagrant fouls, I want to tell you guys really quickly about our Locked On NBA Twitter account. If you're not already doing so, please go and follow at Locked On NBA Net. It's one of more valuable resources out there on NBA Twitter. But Brennan and I follow the account. It's, if you want to get coverage outside of Phoenix, I know you guys love our coverage here on Locked On Suns, but there's so many other great Locked On writers and podcasters and really hosts around the network who are credentialed around the network as well, who bring you top-notch coverage from all 29 other NBA teams outside of Phoenix. So if you're not already doing so, please go follow at Locked On NBA Net, because it's, like I said, one of our valuable resources out there as far as NBA Twitter goes.
I want to also tell you guys about the best way to save money in the new year. As people make life changes, maybe you got a new job, maybe you're trying something different in the new year, and buying or selling a house typically comes with that. And what Homie, the best way to do that, is going to help you do is save money. So what they do for you is they allow you to list your house for just $199. And at close, you only have to pay $1,299, meaning on average, Homie customers save over 10 grand. On any transaction that they make. So these guys have a team of realtors and agents to help you along the way. They also have a mobile app and an interface on their website that's super easy to use, super user friendly. So every step of the way, they're there to support you, not trying to make money off of you, but really just save money and help you in the process. What we're going to do at Locked On Suns to make this deal even better is get you $100, an extra $100 off that listing fee. It's not going to be a coupon or a promo code this time. It's a phone number. That phone number is 602-892-3335 to get just a $99 listing fee over at Homie. Check out everything these guys are doing and call 602-892-3335 to get that discount. All right, so let's go on to flagrant fouls, which it's kind of another night where things kind turned around so quickly where it's like, yeah, you're going to pin it on one guy. But I think the one that I will go with is just, it's Jamal Crawford. It's kind of the easy one from a statistical standpoint. Minus 17 in the box score, 1 of 6 from the field. He's had a rough few weeks. Yeah, I think quietly, his kind of inefficiency, and the Suns not having another option for his minutes is kind of holding the team back some nights, because, you know, they don't have anybody better. But those bench minutes when Booker's not on the court, or tonight when Jackson was off the court, it was tough to create offense.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I wanted to ask you this question as far as that goes, because it's just interesting to follow how Crawford's inefficiency has gone. And you look at guys like Troy Daniels, who Igor's mentioned and admitted he's embarrassed when he doesn't get minutes. And tonight, Troy Daniels had 17 minutes, had 11 points, 3 of 6 from 3. And then, like you mentioned, Jamal Crawford was 1 of 6 from the field with only 4 assists. He had 4 fouls and 3 points. So would you consider flipping those guys in rotation?
Yeah, it'd be tough to have a playmaker on the court at all times. You know, maybe you're kind of splitting up Melton and Booker or getting a little more creative, but I think the impact Daniels has on the rotation or on the spacing on the offense is obvious. The minute he walks on the court, the defense just has to account for him. Like, you see them scrambling, and Kokoschkov is really smart about running stuff for him where he's running off screens, off the ball and everything, and it really helps the offense, you know, at this point, clearly more than Crawford is.
Yeah. As far as when Booker comes back, it's just going to be interesting because you have guys like Crawford, you have Daniels, you also have Quincy Acey on Atende, who had a nice game even though he had 0 points. He just brought some energy and
Four fouls.
Yeah, the nastiness, like Igor said, which is kind of funny. But let's just go on to our final segment here, which is our stat to watch. And I'll toss back to you, Brendan, for this one, because there was actually, looking at the box score here, some interesting numbers.
Yeah, I locked in on this one. I think it was the same number in the third quarter, midway through the third quarter. I mean, he didn't get back on the court a ton, but Mikal Bridges, one field goal attempt for him tonight.
Wow.
Is just kind of a glaring kind of symbol of what we've been noting for quite a while now. Just he's definitely not a creator, so he's you can't put the ball in his hands and expect much to happen. He did get 4 assists tonight, which when the ball's moving, he's somebody who's going to make a smart decision for the most part. But, you know, that's probably the number one reason why, if you were to make a move of him out of the starting lineup or try to tinker with that a little bit to get him in position, but also get somebody with a little more offensive firepower in his spot in that lineup, somebody like Oubre, even Jackson, you know, somebody that can actually kind of make something happen with the ball. But one field goal attempt, I mean, not to bring up another guy that we Suns fans have agreed to not talk about anymore, but like, that's some Dragan Bender type of offensive situation. To just be on the court for that many minutes and not put up shots it just doesn't happen in NBA games, so it can't.
Yeah, let me just ask you this, because I've seen this, actually, I'm glad you brought that, because I've seen that take fly around on Twitter, like, this guy's just a longer, shorter version of Dragan Bender, but he's 100% not. I think he focuses all of his energy on defense, which he played 22 minutes, he had 4 steals tonight, which kind of shows how impactful he's on that end. But do you think he's just passive to a fault on offense, because he thinks, like, hey, like, we have Josh, we have DeAndre, we have TJ, we have Devin, Kelly, we have so many guys who can score the ball?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, even you see it at Villanova, like, he was the best player on that team last year. Jalen Brunson won National Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I think, in his personality to play that way. You see, like, against Charlotte, he had a cut down the baseline. I don't remember who got the ball to him. And instead of going up for a layup, he passed it to the corner. Like, that's just in his DNA to play that way. But, you know, I think it is to the detriment of the team sometimes.
Yeah, unlike Dragan Bender, he actually plays consistent defense. So I just wanted to get that non-comparison out of the way. But for my stat to watch here, it's actually interesting because it's the first time I think I've seen this in a while, which is 51.1 and 40. I'm going to combine both numbers here, which is the field goal percentage and the three-point percentage. I think every game except maybe once or twice this year, the Suns have won every game they've been where they shot above 50%, above 40% from three. I'll have to check those numbers when I get back home. But interesting just how hot they were from the field and how hot they were from three, even though they didn't take as much as Sacramento did, at least initially. They caught up there at the end. But you have hot nights from Oubre from three. You also have efficient nights from DeAndre Ayton, Josh Jackson, De'Anthony Melton. Kelly Oubre had an efficient night as well. The only inefficient guys in this roster tonight were Jamal Crawford and TJ Warren, who took 19 shots to get 21 points. What does that say when you have 7 or 8 guys who are just efficient like that on a night like this?
Yeah, it was needed just because Booker wasn't there. I mean, that's the way that this team's going to have to win, kind of what I was nodding to. It kind of reminds you of that Mavericks game a little bit.
Yeah.
Similar recipe where you got it from unlikely sources, defense locked down, played clutch at the end and kind of pulled away. But, I mean, they had to be that efficient because, you know, Sacramento wasn't far off. They shot 15 of 29 on threes. They were right up near 50% from the field as well, got to the line even more. You know, somebody like De'Aaron Fox can just kind of create offense out of thin air. So they needed to be balanced, they needed to be efficient, and they were.
Yeah, just off topic here, but De'Aaron Fox in person, as far as speed goes, that's just unreal to watch in person.
Obviously Russ is like the guy everybody points to.
He's faster than Russell Westbrook.
I think he's faster than Russ, but just the instincts of, I mean, Kevin Zimmerman was sitting next to me from Arizona Sports, and we were both just noting like his instincts and kind of reading of when to just attack, like a made bucket, he's at the rim before the opposing center, before Ayton or Holmes, he's at the bucket after a made basket. It's insane.
It is, and he's going to be a really special, really, really, really special player here in a couple of years for Sacramento. But one more thing I wanted to ask before you let go of today's podcast, and it's about tomorrow's game against Dallas, back-to-back. We're not going to be recording until our recap of tomorrow's game, so back-to-back, no Devin Booker most likely. What do you expect?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping Booker can make it out there, but it doesn't really seem like it. From the way everybody's talking, it seems like, you know, again, being more hesitant and cautious than ever, really, after seeing him go down again. So it's going to be tough. I mean, it's the same we just talked about. They played them last time here in Phoenix without Booker and came away with the victory. I think, you know, something they do to Luka Doncic, he's been bad both times they've played him. And, you know, that's the key to stopping Dallas. And if they can do that, they'll win.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun game tomorrow. I think it's going to be a close one, like Brandon mentioned. They always play Dallas close and Luka Doncic close. So, again, 115-111 was the final score tonight for the Phoenix Suns. They're now 10-32 on the season. They snapped their six-game losing streak on bright side night, which is kind of a fun little quirk there and a little note. But appreciate you guys listening in. As always, we'll be back with you guys tomorrow to recap the Mavericks game. Thanks.